Well, good morning. What a wonderful wintry Sunday to be here as we gather to worship the Lord this morning. It is wonderful to see you all and wonderful to be together. Before we get started with our service, if you have your bulletins, I'd like to go ahead and open those for a couple of announcements. First is reminder today, following our Sunday service, we will have a business meeting. If you want to see and be a part of godly stewardship, I invite you, if you're a member, to stay here and fellowship with us through that. Also a reminder that tonight at 6 p.m. we will be having our True North Christmas program. The kids have worked hard. I've been a witness to that. They have worked themselves hard, and our leaders as well. So we invite you, please come back tonight at 6 p.m. and be a part of that. There's more information there. We are asking for some food, because following right after that, we're going to have a wonderful fellowship time and food, which is always awesome. A couple more information there. On December 17th, there'll be a luncheon at 11:30. and then on the 17th, we'll gather at 6 to go Christmas caroling. That'll be on Wednesday, I believe. I invite you all to be a part of that. It is always a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, and a good way to take the gospel to those who are in need. December 20th will be the David's Christmas Open House. From there, the times you see, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you're all more than welcome to stop by, have some food, and fellowship with our pastoral family. And then one of the newer things, January 2nd is going to be the ladies' night out at 5:30. That day will be focused on prayer and purpose. There is a sign-up sheet out in the Hallelujah Hallway. If you ladies are interested in that, please sign up so that the appropriate things can be ordered and done, and there's more information there. And then there's some information down at the bottom from the Hope Lives Pregnancy Center, looking for some volunteers. Another wonderful thing that we get to do as a family, as we do here at Dallasburg in our announcements, we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, and today we have an anniversary. JT. I had it right here highlighted too. Yeah, right there. So please make sure to congratulate them. Wonderful things happen in this church, as we have already seen, and one of the great wonderful things that we get to be a part of this morning is baptisms and seeing how the Lord continues to work in the life of the church. As we've seen before, He builds the church. So let us be a part of that this morning.
All right, good morning. Am I on, Steve? Yes, very good. Super excited to see everyone this morning. Very excited to come and participate. Right? Are we off, Steve? Okay, we're back at it. Very excited to have everyone this morning. Very excited to be able to participate in this wonderful thing together. Was in the back talking with Janet and Bruce, and it's a wonderful thing that a husband and wife are being baptized together at the same time. And something else, and you know, you guys know this, and you know Janet, and you know Bruce very well, because they have worked extremely hard to incorporate themselves into our church. And I tell you, this is the model of how you do it. When you come to a church and you want to be a part of a church, Bruce and Janet are how you do it. And it's just a reminder that they have been walking in fellowship with the Lord for many years. And what today truly represents is them coming forward with a final small act of obedience to submit themselves to baptism for the church, because one is because Scripture calls for it, and number two is because they want to enter into fellowship with us as a body of believers so they can be members at our church. And so it's a wonderful thing we're going to do. Janet, we were sharing earlier, and Janet's much like me. She is not a center of attention kind of person, so she's not going to share with us, but I think Bruce is going to maybe share a few words with us. But I'm going to ask Janet a couple questions, and then we'll get to the baptizing, right? First of all is this: Janet, are you going to live forward from this day forward, living your life for the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, very good. Are you going to commit to glorifying God in everything that you do?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, all right. Well, in that case, let's get to baptizing.
I'm glad that went better than it went in my head. Man. Oh, no. But, hey, it is always wonderful to start off a Sunday seeing how the Lord is continuing to build his church. Seeing also, as Brother Bruce said, you know, a church that serves and a church that goes above and beyond. And with that, real quick, before we move into our Lottie Moon section, I do have a thank you note here from Miss Denise McCormick that I would like to read to you. It says, "Dear DBC family, I want to thank each and every person who took time out of their busy schedule to come and cut firewood to keep me warm this winter. It was very cold, but so many of you showed up, bringing tools, equipment, and ambition. Each log that I put into the fire each day is a reminder that people care. Thank you all so much for caring for me, Miss Denise McCormick." That is just a testimony how the Lord works through this church and how the Lord is continuing to work and build his church. And with that in mind, we are in the Lottie Moon offering season. If you haven't seen them just yet, there are these pamphlets out in the Hallelujah Hallway out here outside the sanctuary. If you want to pick these up, it does say November 20th through 7 is the week, but you can still take one of these and continue to pray for the missions that are going on around the world. This is just a small reminder of what things like this do around the world. And with that, I believe we have a video from Brother Steve that we are going to watch.
My name is Eric Reese. I'm here in São Paulo, Brazil, right next to the subway station and the bus station. And because you're giving, we're able to reach thousands for the cause of Jesus Christ. Your giving allow us to be able to stand here and share the gospel with people in this city, a city of 23 million people. We couldn't do it without your sacrificial giving. Bless you. Thank you for giving.
You see there that the giving and the prayers that we do impact the lives of many. And we are able to do that because the Lord Jesus came to this earth, came to us as a babe in a manger to die and to live perfectly for us. So as we continue with our Advent season, we will now light, I believe, the third candle. Just click the microphone.
Two weeks ago, we lit the prophecy candle to remember that God spoke through prophecy, the promise of the coming Christ child. Last week, we lit the Bethlehem candle, a symbol of the preparations being made to receive and cradle the Christ child. The third Advent candle is traditionally called the shepherd candle. The shepherds sat on a quiet hilltop watching their sheep by night. They were common people like you and me. The angels announced the good news of Jesus' birth to them in the midst of their work. They responded with wonder, curiosity, and faith as they sought the Savior whom the angels proclaimed. The shepherds were faithful people of God who sought their Savior in the baby Jesus.
Luke 2:15-20 says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them."
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful, the lowly birth that you came to this world in, Lord. The being laid in a manger, in a barn with animals, Lord. Just so thankful for that. That just shows us how lowly you are and how you, the real reason that you came was for sinners just like me, Lord. And I'm so appreciative of that, Lord. I just pray as we go through the rest of this Christmas season, this Advent season, that we turn our hearts into the hearts of those of the shepherds, Lord, that that sought after you in everything, traveled from very far away just to see your birth, Lord. And I'm just so thankful that we don't have to travel that far to be in communication with you, Lord. All we have to do is just talk to you, and I'm just so thankful for that. So let us not forget the real meaning behind this season. Your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand and let us worship our Lord, and let us celebrate that he has come and saved our souls. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Oh, nation. Oh, sing, all ye, sing, all ye hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Verses 1 and 3. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. One more appropriate psalm to be able to sing of that cry that the earth had, oh come, our dear Savior. And he heard and he responded and he came to us and he saved our souls eternally. Let us sing.
Rejoice, rejoice,
Amen. He promised that he would come to us, and he has. And that's why we sing in that silent and holy night, there was a babe in a manger. And the choir of angels sang, and they worshiped. And we can continue to worship today, for we know that that baby in a manger is now seated at the right hand of God on a foreverlasting throne, saving our souls forevermore. So let us sing.
Psalms 113, 5 through 8. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on the high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with prince and the prince of his people.
Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, Lord. We thank you for the blessing it is to gather together here this morning, Father, especially during this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for the salvation that you made possible through him. Father, we thank you for sending him to die on the cross for our sins and to pay that price for our sins. Lord God, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you give to us each and every day. And Father, we thank you for the blessing it is to give a small portion of that back. Lord, we just pray that you would take it and use it and multiply it to advance your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, our kids will head on off to Children's Church. We pray for their time. We got two more things that I wanted to add real quick. Thanks to Raphael for doing the announcements for us. But number one, and Lucy is going to be doing that right now, I think is where she's going to help with that, is that we're going to do a meal sign-up sheet for the Daltons. You know, they just were blessed with another baby girl. And so if you'd like to bless them with a meal, that sign-up sheet will be out there. And also, this is on me. I should have had this in the bulletin already. But our Christmas Eve service will be at 9 p.m. on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. And we won't have our regular Wednesday night evening services. The Christmas Eve service will suffice for that. So 9 p.m. Wednesday, be there, be square. All right? I'm just joking. If you don't want to be there, you don't have to be there. All right, we continue our walk through the Advent season. If you got your Bibles, you can be turning to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Many of you are going to remember earlier this year in 2025, Cracker Barrel decided they were going to update their logo. And so they did that. They hired this big expensive PR firm. And they came in and they said, we're going to get rid of Uncle Herschel. That's the guy's name on the Cracker Barrel symbol that you've seen. They don't advertise that anymore, but that's what his name once was. He was the uncle of the founder of Cracker Barrel. And so, as many of you recall, that went really bad for them. There was a lot of backlash. People began boycotting Cracker Barrel. People decided they weren't going to go there anymore. And I was doing some research earlier in the week, and it's a kind of a tough number to kind of nail down. But most analysts believe that they lost somewhere between $100 million to $200 million in stock value over this, right? And so it was a failed PR move, right? And the reason I'm discussing that today with you is that if God, and God does not hire PR firms, right? We know that. But if God hired a PR firm, they would have never chosen the shepherds to bring the message to. And so the wonderful thing that we can trust in that is the gospel is not shaped by human making. It's shaped by God's sovereign grace. And God brings his message to whom he desires to bring his message to. And today, as we lit the third candle, also known as the shepherd's candle, we're going to talk about the shepherds and what the message meant for the shepherds. And probably more importantly, what the message means for us, right? Let's take a look. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for safe travel, for all of those that were able to be here today. Lord, I thank you for all those that are joining with us from home this morning. Lord, we pray that they stay safe and warm also. Lord, as we continue to make our way through this Advent season, this season that where we are reminded of the coming of our Savior who stepped out of glory and stepped into humanity, Lord, we just ask that you continue to remind us of how thankful we are for you, that you are the best gift that was ever received to the world. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we ask, as we discussed last week, that you give us, through the indwelling of the Spirit, the ability to remain intentional during this season, that we're able to stay focused on you. We're able to stay focused on grace and mercy and love as we show it to others around us. And Lord, we just pray that even after the season is over and the gatherings are over and the presents are lost or broken, Lord, is that we understand that no matter how cool something that somebody gave us was, you were the ultimate gift that was given to the world, and that we always have you, and there is no losing, and there's no breaking, and there's no forgetting you. And Lord, we just thank you for that wonderful truth that we have in Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen. All right, Luke chapter 2. This is, Luke and Matthew, these are the go-to verses when we talk about the manger scene. We have the manger scene put out. Lucy wisely moved it because she was confident I was going to break it up there. So it's kind of over here behind Lottie Moon right now. But this is the scene that you're aware of. You've probably got this in your house or you've seen it in people's yards. This is one of the verses where this comes from. And we jump right in there, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. Now we see this and we think about shepherds. We're like, oh man, that was kind of a cool thing. Man, in the time of the writing of this, shepherds were the lowliest people that existed in the Jewish hierarchy, right? Why is that? Well, number one is that much different. Jimmy, you can't be. Are you hot, Jimmy? All right, man, Jimmy, mark that down. Jimmy's hot when it's 40 degrees, when it's 4 degrees outside. Shepherds, it was very different than the way we raise livestock here, where we have paddocks or pastures. They were nomadic. And they would browse their sheep and graze them. They would graze them here and they would move on. And because of that, shepherds were very nomadic in nature. And quite often what would happen is when a shepherd was around and something happened, it almost always got blamed on the shepherd because it's easy to blame him because he's moved off to the next town with his sheep. And so they kind of became the scapegoats for a lot of little cities. It reached the point that it was so bad, shepherds' testimonies were not even allowed to be admitted into a court. Like, they're like, if a shepherd saw somebody beating somebody up, and they're like, well, I've got a witness, he's a shepherd, they're like, well, his word's no good here. That's the level of disrespect that they had for shepherds. There's another reason that this happened, is that at this point, right, Judaism had progressed or evolved into being more ceremonial than practical in nature. And so we have all these ceremonial rules that we have to follow. And if you've ever known someone who's Jewish or you've spent much time in Scripture, they take cleanliness very high. It rates very high with someone who's practicing Judaism. And if you've ever raised livestock or been around livestock, you kind of start developing the aroma of your livestock, right? And you kind of start smelling like them a little bit. No offense, JT, right? You start smelling like them a little bit. You know, it's a funny illustration. I was thinking about you, JT, is when I was subbing for a Sunday school class, and JT came in, and instantly I smelled something. I was like, man, no one else in here is reacting to this. Like, I feel like I'm the only one smelling this. And as we sit there and our aromas begin mixing, other people started smelling something. And finally I was like, JT, you smell like a skunk, dude. Like, I legit smell a skunk on you. And he's like, you know what? My jacket did get sprayed by a skunk last night. And so we could clearly smell the skunk smell in the room off JT. And so they didn't like shepherds because of that, because they couldn't come into temple because they smelled a certain way. They also couldn't wash and stay as clean because they're out traveling and taking care of their livestock. And so they unfortunately had become completely ostracized from the Jewish temple and the ceremonies. And so the point is this, is they were really disliked. Even though we have wonderful history in Scripture, Moses was a shepherd for a while. David was a shepherd. We have all of these great examples of these wonderful men in history that were shepherds, but they had just turned their back on the profession of being a shepherd. And so the question also follows up with, well, why? Right? Why did God reveal this information to the shepherds? If he knew that's what the Jewish people thought of him, why choose them? And I think it's a very simple reason. I was like, God delights in exalting the humble. I think God has a deep desire to give blessings to humble people. I think God clearly through his word desires humble people to serve him. And I think this is one of the great examples of God showing, hey, I'll do what I want to do with whom I want to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7, right, Samuel is receiving information here about how to choose a leader. And he says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature. Tall people have always been favored. I've always been out because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And who does the Lord want to bless, and who does the Lord want to go out and serve him? It's humble people." And the reality is, this is a very simple application point for us. If you want to be more blessed, if you want to live a life that looks a lot more like Christ and less like the world, you need to insert more humility into your life. And if you can be more humble and you can understand who you are and you can understand how great God is, and it gives you that humility, that will allow you to be able to be much more useful in serving God. Because if you walk around all the time thinking you're too good to do something, you know what you'll do? Nothing. Because you think you're too good to do it. The reality is, none of us are too good to do anything, right? We do what God calls us to do, and we should be glad to do it. The tricky part is our society puts labels on different professions and different jobs. Usually, whichever makes the most money, right? That's not the way God operates. God wants to use us, and he wants to do that through humble people, because as we're humble, we're able to do what? We're able to submit to God. Prideful people have a hard time submitting, and people who have a hard time submitting have a hard time being obedient, and people that are disobedient have a hard time staying in God's will, because they're off doing what? What their heart desires, not what God's word tells them to do. So humility is the reason here. James chapter 2, verse 5, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised those who love him?" How do you understand the riches of the kingdom? Is you have to stay humble. That way you can recognize what they are. Now, I know most of you all this morning were extremely inconvenienced, right? It's rough out there. It's cold. I mean, it's cold. I know it's cold. But the truth is this, it's good for us at times to be in a position that is not comfortable. It's good for us to be in a position at times to where we're like, man, do I really want to do this? Am I really willing to serve this? Because sometimes we don't appreciate things, because we as humans have a tendency to do what? Take things for granted, right? You guys, some of you guys travel Coal Road. Some of you are brave enough to come down there on Coal with the rest of us. They just paved it. Man, it's smooth. It's like an interstate now. I mean, I'm just like, dude, we have moved up in the world. And the reality is this. If I hadn't driven Coal Road for 5, maybe 10 years, and I had memorized where the potholes were, if I hadn't had to drive it on that rough road, I never would have appreciated how smooth it is right now. And so how do we come to appreciate what the Lord has done? Is that we have to be inconvenienced at times, and we have to humble ourselves in these things. It's a wonderful thing. Hey, drive down Coal Road, appreciate it. It won't last for long. It won't be there for long, but appreciate it right now, right? And so God reveals here to reveal the gospel to the lowliest they get, right? If we were using man's logic, right, you know, maybe we would have chose Herod. He had a lot of political power at the time in this region. Maybe he would reveal himself to some priests. You know, in theory, they should have known the Old Testament and they should have seen the Messiah. Maybe the Pharisees, they are for sure the moral elites. They love to lie, to point out problems in people. Or ultimately, to Caesar, right? He was the leader of the world at this point, but he didn't. God bypassed all the palaces and he showed up in the pasture. Because he came to humble people. And he has a wonderful, important message to us. And it's this simple thing is this. Is salvation is by grace, not by who you are. It's not because you have a title behind your name. It's not because you got a lot of commas in your checking account. It's not because of who your last name is. It's not because of what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you have. Grace is given, and salvation comes through grace simply because it's a free gift. We're in the gift-giving season. My guess is you guys are already shopping for people, and you've got presents wrapped. If you've probably had presents ready for a while if you're really organized. The reality is this, is someone's going to give you a gift that you're not prepared to receive a gift from. And the first thing you're going to want to do is like, I got to give them something back. I mean, Melissa and I, sometimes we do this. We just keep a couple gifts around just in case that happens. Like, oh, here's a candle. We picked it out just for you. It's not true. We did not pick it out just for you, right? We just keep it around. Oh, here you go, right? because you guys are such a loving church and you're so kind to us that people show up and give us gifts, right, that we were not expecting. And I think that's why when we come to this concept of grace, we struggle with it. It's because it is legit free. You cannot earn it. You cannot pay for it. It is a free gift given to you, and there's only one thing requested in return, and that's your obedience. And that's why people struggle. They're like, well, what do I do? Can I do this for it? No, it's freely given, and praise be to God, it's that way. I think there's another really important message here for us to understand is that no one is too unimportant, too broken, or too overlooked for God to reach, right? Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So that transitions perfectly in verses 9 and 10. An angel of the Lord appeared to them being the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, if you're a Bible underliner or you're a notes taker, I would really encourage you to underline that word there, all the people. For all the people, right? It's a wonderful bit of news. This is why it's called the great news. It's where we get the word gospel from, right? Gospel means the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. When someone say, "I'm sharing the gospel," what are you sharing? The good news of Christ. That's simply what it means. And what we see here is that God has sent this angel to tell the lowliest of lowlies that I have sent salvation for even someone as low as you. Now, I think an application point for us is this, and maybe some of you have said this at some point in your life, or maybe you've heard it said to you at some point, boy, if I walked into church, it'd catch on fire. Or if I walked in church, lightning would strike it. Or if I walked in church, it would fall down and be a pile of rubble. All you have to do is take them to Luke chapter 2 and show them who's the gospel for, who's the good news for? All people. It doesn't say all the people who have it right. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. And I think that's the mistake that so many people make, is I think they do have a desire to love the Lord. And I think maybe the Lord is, through the Holy Spirit, is maybe tugging on their heart a little bit, but they have it backwards. They're like, well, when I get everything right, then I'll come to Jesus, or I'll come to church and I'll become a member of the body. That's exactly opposite. What we do is we feel that movement on our heart, and then we come to relationship with Christ, and you know what the Spirit starts working on? Getting everything right. And that's the improvement that we see here. And again, I am confident that during this holiday season, this Christmas season, that you all will be given opportunities to speak about who Christ is. And I just can't encourage you enough. There's your verse right there. If the Spirit tells you something different, listen to the Spirit. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit over me. But who's it for? For all the people. Something else I wanted to point to is here in verses 9 and 10, and I think this is an important message that, to be quite honest, I think I've missed this for many times in reading this bit of scripture, is it said there, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. What is that? What is the glory of the Lord? Well, it's one of the reasons that the shepherds are scared for their life. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Easy for you to say. Right, it's easy if I'm seeing this huge angel and we're discussing what the glory of the Lord is. Well, I'll just tell you right now, the glory of the Lord is simply this. It's the display of God's holiness in one spot, and it breaks into the world. And so you see this wonderful beauty of Christ. This is the reason that when Moses, right, was working and the Lord was leading him, and his face would do what? It would shine. And Moses would have to wear a veil because it would blow people away, because Moses had been exposed to the glory of the Lord. This perfect holiness. You and I can't describe it. We can't imagine what it would be to see something perfectly holy. And this is what's breaking in right here, is this glory of the Lord. Let me give you a couple examples. Steve, you don't have to follow me here. I'm going to go fast. Exodus, in chapter 16 in Exodus, the glory of the Lord appears in the wilderness and they see it. Right, it's manifested in a big cloud. Right, again in Exodus, the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. And they all see it. It's the smoke and lightning and all these things. And then in 1 Kings, the glory fills Solomon's temple. And they're like, man, what is this all coming from? Like the glory of the Lord has broken through. And then the really tricky one here, and this is in Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel actually witnesses the glory of the Lord pull away. And it recedes from earth. And I think it's something that's kind of lost on us. When you're studying your Bible and you flip from Malachi, right, that's the last book of the Old Testament, and you flip to Matthew, that's the first book in the New Testament, that flip of the page is 400 years. That one little turn is 400 years. And in those 400 years, guess what? God's glory had been removed. You still had Scripture, but he did not speak through any prophets in that 400 years. He did not send any miracles during that 400 years. It's known as the silence between the Old and New Testament. If you want a fancy word, it's called the intertestamental period, is what it's called, right? And so the Lord has kind of pulled himself away. And what's so amazing, and I'll put this on me, is I think I've missed this when studying the nativity scene and thinking on this, is now the big news is now the glory of the Lord has returned, and he's back in Jesus Christ. And so the 400 quiet years have opened back up, and there's a loud shout, and the angels show up, and the glory of the Lord shows himself, sending a very clear message, is that salvation has come. Whereas before, the glory of the Lord was primarily utilized as a judgment tool to bring judgment on Israel, to point out problems, to point out sin in people's life. And now Christ also does all those things through his preaching, but the most important thing he does is now he enters into and brings us into this wonderful hope and salvation. And this is why this season is so important. This is why it's so amazing, is that the glory returns, not in the temple, not in Jerusalem, but in a field to a bunch of no-name shepherds. This is the amazing bit of the nativity that we miss. It's a wonderful thing. In verse 10, and the angel said, fear not. Again, try to see an angel sometime and see how you go. I'll tell you this, every time in Scripture an angel shows up, they get scared. You know why? Because they're huge. They're giants, and they're, read Scripture. I don't, angiology, you can study that another time, right? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I want to give you three titles here in this verse. The first one is Savior, because Christ comes to do what? He rescues us from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will bear a son, that being Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so he goes by the name of Savior. Christ, the promised Messiah, right? Christos, that means Messiah. He's the anointed one in John chapter 1, verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And so, who is he? He's the promised Messiah. Our first week when we started the Advent season, the candle that's almost ready to catch everything on fire down there, that's the prophecy candle, right? It's because he is the promised Messiah. Emerson, that's your job. If that catches on fire, it's on you to put it out, okay? Closest one. And then the third thing there, he's called Lord. What is this talking about? Is that God is sovereign in the flesh. He stepped out of glory and he put on flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so this is why we treat Jesus as our Lord, right? You know, we sing the song. And if you could sing, this would be really interesting to, and I'm not going to sing. Best you get from me is a spoken word. We sing the hymn, He is Lord. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the question for you is this. Are you living your life in submission to Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you desire to live with obedience being at the root of your understanding? Do you begin to understand that God loved you so much that he put on flesh and came to walk the earth in ridicule and shame, and that because he did it perfectly, you are called to submit your life to him and live your life to where it looks like him and not like the world? You have to think about it. Is he Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he the promised Messiah from Scripture? The answer to that is clearly yes, right? He's also the Savior. But you have to answer that question for yourself. Do you treat Jesus as Lord of your life? Do you? Or are you trying to fulfill things in other ways? The amazing truth is this, is that it is very straightforward in understanding who Jesus is as Lord. And it is very straightforward. Now, we fight this because of our sin nature, but it is very straightforward. If there's anything in your life worthy of your love and obedience and worship, it is the Lord, capital L, Lord. Answer that for yourselves. Think about that, right? He goes on, this is good news and great joy. That's referencing of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. I took a picture this morning. I was here super early because I thought there would be some things to do. Our Jack Miller, he's our guy that does our sidewalks and parking lot. Everything was taken care of. So I was here really early this morning, kind of hanging out. And the light was shining through our wonderful back there. And I tried to take a picture of it, but it washed it out because it was so bright. And I just couldn't help but think that what we're talking about today and what happened on that wonderful day is that the light broke through. Just as the light breaks through that window back there, and look, it will blind you if you look at it long enough. Like, golly, it's so bright. As it breaks through. And so the wonderful light of Christ has broken into a very dark world to where people were just lost and they were heavy laden and they had these huge burdens to bear. And this light breaks in and it says, I mean, you know what? All it takes to be with the Father for eternity is what? Is faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Matthew in 11:28, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, many of you in this holiday season, you could use some rest right now. You're ripping and running and getting things ready and kind of getting yourselves kind of spun up a little bit. I encourage you again, just like last week, to be intentional, to remind yourself, what is the reason? What is the reason we do this? It's right here. It's because of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the good news of who Christ is and that he loves us. It is the wonderful reality is that light has broken into a dark world, and as amazing as it should be, is that God chose you to also be a part of that light. It's a wonderful bit of truth. How are we part of that light? This is not in my notes. Let me add this in real quick. Is that, does any light emanate from you? Absolutely not. What you are is you're like a mirror. You're reflecting God's light. Right? Just like the moon, right? Why does the moon shine in the sky when you look up in there? It's because it reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have any source of light in itself. It's reflecting the light of the sun. And so we are to be like little moons or like mirrors. We're reflecting the light that is broken into the world. We're reflecting that light into the dark world. This is what we're called to do, even in this season. Verses 17 through 20. Let me just read 17 through 18 here for you real quick. God's word says, and when they saw it, they made it known the saying that had been told them. So the shepherds hear this news, right? And I think there's two things that the shepherds do here that we should also do when we learn who Jesus Christ is. It's the first thing they did is they witnessed, and the second thing they did is they worshiped. So witness and worship. We are also called to witness and worship. And so the first thing that the shepherds did is when they heard this news, the good news, the gospel, when they heard that, what did they do? Is they went out and told people. Now this is a negative that I've heard this from people say about us as Christians, is that if we truly believe what Scripture teaches, and we truly believe that Christ is who he says he is, and we truly believe the consequences of not trusting in Christ as your Lord and Savior is that no one should be able to keep our mouth shut telling people about Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to take the opportunities that God gives you to share the truth about Christ. We are called to witness. It's not just for your Sunday school teacher. It's not just for Raphael as the youth pastor. It's just not me as whatever I am, the pastor, right? It's not just for us. It's for all of us to witness and share about Jesus Christ. In Acts 4:20, hey, at this point, the apostles, they're taking beat downs on the daily from the Jewish leaders, right? This Christianity movement is getting bigger and bigger, and they're trying to squash it, and they're literally beating the apostles. And they're like, you say one more word and we will kill you. Acts chapter 4:20, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Whippings, beatings is probably the right word. Their beatings could not keep them quiet. And so my question, and hey, you ask this between yourself and the Lord, why do you stay quiet sometimes? Why don't you share the gospel more often? Why don't you see opportunities to insert the gospel there? And I'm not saying give somebody a 12-hour dissertation on the book of Romans. You'll get that in January when Bobby teaches that. I encourage you to come out and listen to that. It's going to be a good class. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what you can do? You can speak some truth into those people's lives. You can take the opportunity to say, you know what I feel about this is because of what God's done for me. And you can insert that in there. And the second thing they did is they worshiped. I got to experience something today that I don't experience a ton, is I got to hear you all from behind the curtain when I'm back there taking off my wet stuff, right? There is no doubt this is a worshiping church. This church worships. And one of the ways we worship is through song. No doubt about it. Singing these wonderful hymns and the truths that we see in Scripture is a form of worship. And there's also many ways that we worship is you can have a worshiping heart, right? You should be worshiping the Lord every day in how you serve your spouse. You should be worshiping the Lord in how you serve your church, right? I'll say this, and I don't want to embarrass him, but 8 o'clock this morning, I'm down there looking over my notes, and I hear a knock on my door. I was like, man, somebody's early. I was like, it's got to be Steve and Crystal. But Steve had said that they weren't coming this early this morning. I look up, it's Brad Wilhoit. And he is dressed like he's going to Antarctica. And I'm like, what's going on? He's got a shovel. He goes, hey, I came over here to clean off the sidewalks, and it's already all done. That is a worshiping heart that is coming to serve you all as a church. He was coming to serve you all so you could get in and out of the church. Very good, right? Or well. That is what it should look like. This is what we should be doing. We should have a desire to serve. I can promise you Brad could have used a little bit more sleep. Was that accurate, Brad? No, he won't say yes to that. Most of you can use a little bit more sleep. But sacrifice that to come over here and find out it's already been taken care of, right? This is what we should be like. Tonight, we're going to come back tonight, and we're going to see this children. We're going to see all this work that Mandy and Simon and Courtney and all the and Brandy and all these people have put into this. We're going to come back, and we're going to see a group of people that have put a ton of effort into our kids to teach them about Christ, to get them together, and to share the gospel. Even young people can share the gospel. We are a church that believes in worshiping, that believes in serving, but the reality is this, is we can never become complacent. We can never think, well, I'm sure somebody's going to go do that. No, we have to always be searching. We have to always be striving to serve God, and one of the main ways that one of the main benefits of serving God and serving His people, it is a form of worship. You guys have heard me say this. When I get together with other pastors, they struggle with this. They struggle with their church. And they're like, man, sometimes it's like dry bones, like preaching to dry bones, try to get people motivated. I have to be careful with us. I was like, man, I have to be careful who I say something to because they will go out and do it. When Melissa and I were early on married, Alan figured out real soon, I'm not the handiest person in the world, right? I'm good at researching and I'm good at maybe knowing how we should do it, maybe a different story in actually doing it. And I had to be careful because if I called Alan, I was like, hey, Alan, how do you fix this? And I'd hang the phone up. I hear the gravel. Here's Alan. He's ready to do it, right? Just ready to come and serve. We are a serving church, and we got to stay that way. We got to continue to not only take care of what's on the inside and take care of one another, but we also have to be willing to go out and serve on the outside and reach out to a church. A church that is inwardly focused is a dead church in about a generation, and we can't do that. We have to always have this attitude of worship and serving the world, just like the shepherds, witnessing and serving. Witnessing and worshiping. That's what they did. They did it through that serving, right? The kind of nice little bow on this is that this is a wonderful message for the lost world, is that no matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past, and man, we've got people in here that have done things that the world's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. We've got other people in here that you were good at hiding it. That's me. You were really good at hiding it, and maybe you didn't spend any time incarcerated, but you got away with some stuff. You could have. You just got away with it. The reality is this, is Christ came to save whom? The humble. Who does he reach out to? The humble, the lost, the sinners. And that we as a church, we have to continue to do that. We have to continue to reach out to the lost. We have to continue to reach out and share the gospel. We have to continue to reach out and witness to one another. It's because it's so important to understand this. It's because the first people to hear the gospel were not worthy, but they were very willing. Because when they got the gospel message, they went out and they witnessed and they worshiped. It was not the powerful, but the poor. Shepherds were not very wealthy. Not the famous, but the forgotten. Because grace always comes down to the humble. And that's a wonderful bit of truth. And I pray, this is some one of those things that I say is a dangerous prayer. I pray for your humility. I pray that for you all on a regular basis. And if you all are out there like, man, I don't know what the Lord's teaching me today. Hey, it could be the fact that I've been praying for you to be humble and for God to teach you some truth and for God to show you you don't have all this taken care of. There's one person to turn to, and the only person in your life worthy to turn to and worthy of worship is Jesus Christ. This is the message of the manger, is that right there. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's gathered here with us today in person and those also at home. Lord, I appreciate the love that they have for you, that they have carved out some time to sit down and to have your word wash over them. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit has come alongside of us today, has revealed to us maybe some truths in Scripture that are not new to the world, but maybe new to us today. And Lord, I pray that we can take that information and we can take it out into the world to where we can be like little mirrors reflecting your loving light into a very dark world. Lord, I'm not sure that besides maybe Resurrection Sunday, if there's ever a season that is just more tailor-made for us to share our witness, to speak truth into people's lives, and to do that in a loving, kind way. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of the opportunities that you have given us, all the opportunities that you are giving us, and Lord, for all the opportunities you will give us until the day that you call us home to be a part of your ministry team, sharing to a dark world of what you are, who you are, and how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Let us stand. Let us praise, for he is ours forevermore. With Christ I will encounter harm and hatred for his name. But mine is armor for this battle, strong enough to last the war. And he has said he will deliver safely to the golden shore. And mine are pieces, Zion City, where beside the king I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. Come rejoice now, O my soul, for his love is my reward. Fear is gone and hope is sure. Christ is mine forevermore. And mine are keys to Zion City, where beside the king I walk. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. For there my heart has found its treasure. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore. Christ is mine forevermore.
I really like that song. This song is so good. I like the whole thing. But can you imagine just walking, just being there, being part of that, being in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it, right? It's just, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't have the right words for all that. It's a wonderful thing, and I pray that you're getting a little taste of that, and I pray that's what's motivating you to go out and to serve, and I pray that's what's motivating you to worship, right? 5:45, the kids tonight, Mandy, right? The rest of you got to be here at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a wonderful time of seeing our children share the gospel and talk to us. And then we're going to have a wonderful time of hanging out and eating afterwards. And I'm looking forward to your food, right? So we'll see that as well. Real quick, there's two sign-up sheets out there, one for the Daltons, if you would like to bring a meal for them. And there's also a sign-up sheet out there for the women's event that's coming up very soon. Take a look at that. Nice little picture for that. Be thinking about if you want to be a part of that. All right. Lori, will you close in prayer? Oh, sorry, before I say that, I'm sorry, Lori. Janet and Bruce, would you all come down front, please? They're going to be down here. I would encourage you to come by and say thank you to them and realize that they are our newest members at Dallasburg Baptist Church, and I hope you're as excited for them as they are excited to be part of our church family. And so they'll be down here, and they'll be happy to see you, right? All right, Lori, now you're on. Thank you.